Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Blue Moon, Too Good to Be True, by A.E. Vaya. Narrated by Tim Page. Part 1. Chapter 1. Angel was making the rounds in his club and talking business with his bar manager, Sam, when a short, blue-eyed blonde kept accidentally bumping into him. Yeah, right. Angel shot him a sideways glance as the small man waved at him shyly. Angel simply continued his conversation, ignoring the childish flirtation. The pretty boy's eyes cast downward, and his smile turned south when Angel didn't return the gesture. As Angel leaned on the bar, reviewing the purchase order for the upcoming weekend, he felt another nudge come from his left side, almost dislodging the pen from his hand. Angel whipped out his arm and caught the flirt on his round biceps with a firm, controlling grip. Angel didn't say anything for a couple seconds, taking in the appearance of the petite beauty. Wide, crystal blue eyes and a supple, pouty mouth shone back at him. Angel had a non-negotiable age restriction to enter his club, no one under 25 allowed, and his three bouncers at the door fully enforced that policy. "How old are you, beautiful?" Angel asked. "How old do you want me to be?" he purred back. Angel rolled his eyes at the old, common line. At this point, Angel was uncertain if he was annoyed, mad, or interested. "I'm 27, he finally answered. Angel shook his head, but still didn't feel like being bothered. He blamed it on too many nameless lays in the last couple years. Anytime Angel wanted to talk about getting to know his bed partner, they ran faster than Usain Bolt. In a rough voice, Angel crowded into the man's personal space and asked, "Is there something you want, baby?"
"My name is Jason. I just wanted to say hi," the young man stuttered, while staring directly into Angel's intense gaze.
Angel watched with his dark chocolate eyes as the pretty man began to unravel in front of him. Jason's breathing accelerated, and tiny beads of sweat popped up on his smooth forehead. Angel could see the bulge forming in the front of Jason's low-riding denim jeans. The t-shirt that he wore was two sizes too small. On the front, in bold red letters, was the phrase, "I'm sexy and I know it." Angel leaned in closer, letting the stubble on his jaw brush across the little man's smooth cheek. He put his lips on Jason's outer ear and whispered seductively, "Looks like you want to say more than just hi, Jason." The bulge in Jason's pants was now more prominent than before, and the goosebumps popping up on Jason's thin arms were hard to miss.
"Actually, hell yeah, there's more I want to say. Why don't you come out back and let me tell you in private?" Jason stated boldly.
He looked like he could probably blow his load right there on the bar if he could get even a second of friction on his dick. Angel sighed and loosened his grip on the small man's arm. "You want to get a drink or something?" Angel asked. Jason looked very pretty, and he didn't appear drunk, so Angel thought he may be able to have a conversation with him before they fucked. Might make it a little more enjoyable if Jason gave him something more to like than just his looks. But Jason was already pulling Angel toward the back door of his club that opened to a semi-dark alley. Angel halted Jason's determined strides. "You want to go up to my office?" Angel pointed in the opposite direction. "There's a couch. We can talk a minute."
"No, I'm good. Wow, you are so fucking gorgeous."
Jason stared at him. "Thanks," Angel replied, with a slight smile.
"My friends are going to be so jealous."
Angel frowned at Jason's last remark as he was pulled into the darkness of the dank alley. It was clear this was all Jason wanted from him, a quick fuck and bragging rights. Angel quickly scanned the alley before pushing the young man against the rough brick wall. If this is what he wants, fine. He made quick work of his zipper while his date of the hour shimmied his pants down over his perky ass.
"I'm all ready for you, Daddy," the boy moaned while pulling a lubed plug out of his hole.
Angel saw the boy turn up one side of his shiny mouth and lick his tongue out seductively. He wasn't impressed, and he thought the move to be a little whorish, but whatever. Fucking great. Another boy wanting a daddy, Angel thought.
"I'm not your daddy," Angel growled. "Now turn around and keep both hands on the wall." He rolled on a condom and glided into his ass in one smooth stroke, still being careful not to hurt the smaller man. Jason reached back and gripped a handful of Angel's hair and groaned.
Come on, fuck me hard. Show me what you got, playboy.
Don't pull my hair. I'm not your bitch. Angel's deep baritone voice grew strained with annoyance. After only a few pumps, Angel was already bored and disgusted. He rolled his eyes when Jason leaned his head back for a kiss. He dodged the glossy lips and let him kiss his neck instead. All the yelling he was doing was really starting to irritate the hell out of him. The random hookups were just not satisfying anymore. Honestly, they never had been. Angel wanted to hurry and get them both off so he could go on with his evening, and judging from the way Jason was grunting and crying out, it wouldn't be much longer. Angel draped his 6-foot frame completely over the little man's back, hooking one muscled, tattooed arm across a lithe chest. His other hand had a firm grip on the man's bony hip. Angel commenced to reaming him to within an inch of his life, which was obviously what Jason wanted, because he started yelling and jacking himself so fast, Angel thought the man might need a wrist brace when he was finished. Angel thrust in one final time and ground his pelvis against Jason's tight bubble ass. Come now, Angel growled in his ear. He felt the familiar sensation in his own balls while his date came all over the brick wall. Jason yelled to the heavens and convulsed erratically in his arms. His ass squeezed Angel's dick in a vice-like grip that made him grit his teeth to keep from yelling himself. Fuck, Angel groaned quietly as he filled the condom. Damn, you are fucking tight. Jason smiled wide at the compliment as he took a few more seconds to catch his breath. He pushed his spent cock back into his skinny jeans and turned to look at Angel. So you think you might want to come back to my place? I don't think I'm finished with you. I have a roommate, but she's gone until after the holiday. The pretty man blinked up at Angel expectantly, like he'd secured his escort for the evening by the performance he'd just given. Look, Jason, I think you're cute and the night is young. How about we go for a ride up the coast? Angel smiled. Maybe this night won't be a total bust. We could still talk. Jason wouldn't look at Angel in the eye. Sure. Just let me tell my friends that I'm leaving. I'll be right back. Jason took off so fast, he didn't even zip his fly. Fuck me, Angel whispered silently into the darkness. You already let him, asshole. Angel winced and dropped his head at his foolishness. He'd done it again. He let himself be used. Months ago, he swore to himself that he wasn't going to be a quick lay anymore, but Angel was starved for real affection. Angel had sat at the bar in his club one night after closing and talked to his best friend, Sam, about his lack of relationships. Sam told him, Angel, you're so fucking exotic and successful that guys are a little intimidated by you. I'm not going to lie to you. I hear things when I'm behind this bar. People see you walking around the club and they say that you probably have boyfriends and girlfriends all over the city. They think you're a player simply because of how you look. I'm sorry, buddy. And as your best friend, it pisses me the fuck off. They just don't know you like we do. They don't know how fucking smart you are, how considerate and humble you always are. They don't know that you are home alone every night after work, or if you even go out somewhere, you go alone or with me. But you'll find someone, Angel, when you least expect it. Angel brought his mind back to the present. It had been 20 minutes. Jason wasn't coming back. Angel refused to go back in after him. He'd take his wounded pride and tuck tail. Angel swiped at the brick dust on his black Levi's and smoothed his favorite black and gray Maroon 5 t-shirt over his studded belt. Usually, Angel liked to dress a little nicer when he came to his club, but it was a Thursday night, and he'd had no intentions of being there. Sam swore that the bar order had to be approved and signed tonight, or else they would come up short-stocked for the weekend. That would be disastrous, since the 4th of July weekend was one of the biggest weekends for the Virginia Beach oceanfront. He was the owner of one of the hottest clubs on the Strip. Some might say gay club, but all types came and partied together. 4th of July weekend brought in tourists from all over the East Coast, not just as regular locals that packed the club every week. Angel was looking forward to opening up the third level of Blue Moon again to kick off the busy tourist season. It was half canopied, with the other half open to the moonlight, stars, and gorgeous view of the ocean.
The salty breeze caressed the patrons as they danced to the latest rock and pop music of today. They partook of premium liquor from his fully stocked bars, served by his well-trained barkeeps. Angel's Club was the number one nightlife attraction in the Hampton Roads area, and he knew it. He'd competed for 3 years with two other clubs that were both within a four-block radius of his own, and he'd put them both out of business. Angel made sure his club was designed by one of the best interior decorators money could buy. He didn't skimp on the amenities that made a club hot. He had the best sound systems, state-of-the-art DJ equipment, immaculate VIP rooms, a full, courteous staff, and most importantly, an effective security team so his customers didn't have to worry about their safety like at some of the other rowdy clubs on the beach. Angel put his back against the brick and propped one foot up as he pulled out a Marlboro and lit it with his custom-made Zippo. The stainless steel lighter had his club emblem on the front and the name etched on the other side. He lit the cigarette, took a long, hard drag, and let the smoke linger in his lungs before exhaling slowly. He studied the silver lighter carefully, staring at the name Blue Moon, while the flip side showed the emblem that he had designed himself. The moon was, in his opinion, the perfect shade of Brandeis blue, and it had two silver spear-tipped arrows piercing and crisscrossing at the moon's center. The very same emblem was covering his left pectoral. The moon tattooed on his chest had two shades of blue that outlined and defined the surface, making it appear cratered on his smooth chest. The silver arrows piercing the center seemed to shimmer against his olive skin in the right lighting. His tattoo artist had truly outdone himself with that one. The cigarette ended much too quickly as he ground the butt into the concrete with his black leather boot. He considered lighting another, but decided against it and headed back to the end of the alley where he kept his beloved. Angel unlocked the sleek black helmet and slid it over his head. He gently adjusted his thick, braided ponytail that now reached the curve of his ass as he straddled his new Harley-Davidson Dyna Lowrider. The recently polished chrome shined in the gleam of the moonlight. The black body glistened like it had just come off the showroom floor. The custom paint job had his club emblem on the body. It was just enough not to overshadow the pure beauty that was the bike alone. He put the key in the ignition and revved the engine a couple times, relishing the vibration against his groin. He kicked back the side stand and sped up the alley toward the main road. He turned onto Atlantic Avenue and looked left to his club's front entrance. Angel put up a lazy two-finger salute, his usual symbol for goodbye, to the triple threat at his double doors. The three bouncers that guarded the front at all times gave him a short wave as he made a quick left onto Pacific Avenue, heading toward the freeway to his sanctum, home. Chapter 2.
Oh, please, give me a goddamn break, Maximus. You need a fucking enema, you're so full of shit, Luna yelled.
Max grimaced at that last comment. His girlfriend was a real pistol. Max wasn't even looking for a commitment when Luna put that label on them after only dating for 3 months. Her blood-red curls, they were probably auburn, but the word blood seemed to fit right now, bounced around her head angrily as she shook it from side to side. She watched Max act like he was cleaning his small oceanfront apartment.
I really can't just up and take you on a vacation right now, Luna. Work is crazy. I'm a fireman, for shit's sake. The July 4th weekend is one of the busiest weekends for Virginia Beach, and you know that. All uniforms are required and needed to report on duty. You're a hairstylist with your own shop. Of course you can come and go whenever you feel like it. But some working stiffs like myself don't have that luxury.
Max eyed her, annoyed as she huffed out a breath at his last remark. He thought he may have had her stumped there, but he could practically see the gears turning in her brain under her blood auburn curls.
Really? Max, really? You're gonna go there? I mean, really?
Wow, she sounds like an SNL weekend update. Really, with Seth and Amy. He quirked his lips up a little when he thought about the hilarious skit on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, hell no. I know you are not laughing at me. Max, do you think this is a game? You think this is funny? Really?
Oh, give me a fucking break, really, Max groaned internally.
I am trying to plan some quality time with my man. First you shoot me down, and then you laugh about it in my face, she screeched at him.
No, actually I wasn't, but I will laugh at your silly ass when you get the hell out.
Well, maybe I should just go to Atlanta with my girlfriends, and you can stay here alone this weekend and think about what you had when it is gone, she threatened bravely.
She crossed her arms over her ample chest and tapped her manicured toes angrily, waiting for his reply.
Oh, yes, there is a God, and he is willing to give me a weekend without Luna.
Max could only hope.
Look, Luna, he stated gently after taking a deep breath.
He put both hands out in front of him in a gesture that said to calm down and lower your voice.
I understand that you want to spend time together, but I just don't see how that's going to happen on this particular holiday weekend.
I think it doesn't happen any fucking holiday, Max, she protested.
You're absolutely right, babe. My schedule does suck, but once I make Sergeant...
He saw her roll her eyes, probably because he'd used that same excuse the entire 3 months they'd been together.
Things will get better, and my schedule will be almost normal. Then I can put in a request to take a little bit of leave time. You know I had to use the time I had saved 2 months ago to go to my Aunt Janet's funeral.
He held his breath and waited after that statement to let it sink in.
Take that.
His aunt had raised him and his brother Riker after losing their mom to breast cancer when Max was 13. Although he was 33 years old now, it still hurt to think about her being gone, so he tried not to. He felt kind of bad using her death as his trump card to squash an argument with his girlfriend. He lowered his head and stared at the scattered array of magazines on his coffee table when he felt soft arms come around his back and crowd him close from behind.
Now that's more like it, you crazy bitch.
I'm sorry, baby, Luna said gently, stroking his belly as if he were an excited dog.
However, Max wasn't the one that was batshit crazy.
I'm just aching to get away for a while. These damn tourists get on my nerves during the 4th.
She paused and squeezed a little tighter around his middle and rubbed her size double D breasts against his lower back. Her 5'3" body was flush against his muscled 6'1" frame.
You really don't mind if I go with a few of my girlfriends? She murmured weakly.
No, of course. He stopped abruptly and adjusted his excitement level after noting her perplexed expression.
Of course I would love to be with you, he said more calmly.
He tilted his head back so his 5 o'clock shadow rubbed gruffly over her mean curls. She giggled and squirmed against him. He rolled his eyes and continued to speak in as soft a tone as he could manage.
But I won't stop you from going and having a little fun just because I'm stuck here working. You go on, babe, and have enough fun for both of us, okay?
If you're sure you're okay with your woman being at Atlanta with all her single girlfriends, then I will go, she countered.
Thank goodness, another argument done. They were having these spats more and more over the past few weeks, and they'd all been about his hectic, consuming schedule. He had to do something about their constant bickering sooner rather than later. He just didn't need that extra stress in his life right now. He had a lot of studying to do before it was time to take his final exams next month. He would finally graduate in August with a bachelor's degree in chemistry, and his promotion to sergeant would be effective immediately. Usually it took a firefighter at least 6 years to make sergeant, but Max had gotten his degree and promotion in only 4. He'd worked hard to get to this point. His older brother called him every week to check on his progress. He just wished his aunt would have been here to see their major accomplishments. If it wasn't for her, he and Riker never would have made it. He tamped down those thoughts as he felt Luna maneuver her way to his front and slide her perfectly manicured fingers down to grope his cock through the thin sweats he was wearing. She slowly flicked out her soft pink tongue and licked the fireman's crest tattoo on his chest. A moan escaped Max's mouth before he could stop it. She looked up at him with beautiful hazel eyes surrounded by thick, curled lashes. He had truly loved those jovial eyes when they met and the way she dominated a room whenever she entered. As always, no one showed their true colors in the beginning of a relationship. He pulled her legs up and let them straddle his narrow waist as he carried her back to his bedroom. She let loose a sexy moan against his throat as he ground his thickening cock against her. Max figured, what the hell? What was one more roll in the sack before he dumped her ass like a ton of bricks as soon as she stepped foot in Atlanta? It was Friday night, and Maximus was reporting to the fire station to pull a 72-hour shift.
He was only required to work 48, but he decided to pull his buddy Pierce's shift on Sunday, since Pierce had really looked out for him when he had to take personal leave. Max looked around the station and waved to the usual personnel on duty. He stopped to talk with the crew that was leaving about the action they had seen that day. He dropped his duffel bag at his feet and sat at the kitchen table with Ken, James, Xander, and Keith. They all looked like runners-up for the Mr. Universe contest. Keith's shoulders and biceps were so damn huge, he probably couldn't reach back to wipe his own ass. But Max knew if he was ever trapped in a fire, he'd love to see Keith's big ass come barreling through the wall to get him the hell out of there. They were all going on about the 10-car pileup that was on Interstate 664 that morning during rush hour. Reportedly, there were 2 fatalities and 6 were still in critical condition. Max said a silent thank you to a higher power that he didn't have to see that wreckage. The guys all looked grim as they shook their heads. Most of them probably thought the same thing Max was about this weekend. This is just the beginning. Max went to his bunk room to make his bed and put his uniforms in the tiny closet for the next 3 days. It took him a while to shove all the clothes inside, but he always overpacked for his shifts. He'd learned a valuable lesson during his second week of training 6 years ago. Max had gone out on 7 dispatched calls while pulling a 48-hour shift. By the 4th call, he'd completely run out of clean clothes. He vowed that day that he would never again go commando under his polyester uniform pants again. He had chafed balls for a fucking week. He shivered slightly at the memory and finished unloading his bag. Since his shift didn't start for another 2 hours, he figured he could get in a few miles on the treadmill in the station's workout room. Max took excellent care of his body, and it showed. He slipped on his VBFD tank top and looked at his reflection in the floor-length mirror attached to the closet door. Max wasn't as ripped and defined as some of the other firefighters, but he wasn't ashamed of that. A unique tribal tattoo circled his left biceps and expanded whenever he flexed it. He pulled the black gym shorts up his hard, tanned legs that were toned due to running on the beach 4 times a week. His blue-gray eyes scanned his body, and he noted that he should add a few more crunches to his workout regime. The definition was there, but the amber ale beer that he loved so much was visible as well. Max never wanted to be a Hulk Hogan lookalike, and he wasn't a health nut either, but he believed in treating his body good so it would be good to him. On the way to the workout room, which couldn't be called a gym because 2 treadmills and 1 weight bench did not a gym make, he heard a deep voice yell his name from the other end of the hall. He did an about-face and found Captain Williams standing with both hands on his hips and his feet shoulder-width apart. It seemed to be the only way the man knew how to stand. His captain watched him intently as he walked the 20 or so feet to the end of the hallway. His gaze probably could reach into the depths of Max's soul if Max could maintain eye contact with the man for more than a few seconds. When Max neared the end of the walkway, his captain stared a few more minutes before finally flicking his head toward the door to his small office. It really did unnerve Max and a lot of the other men when the captain fixed that all-knowing gaze on them. The man had a naturally strong, dominating aura. He had a way of focusing his eyes on a person so fiercely that it made even the strongest alpha male want to tilt his head down in submission. "You wanted to see me, Cap?" Max croaked out.
"Yes, I called you, didn't I? Get your ass in here and sit."
His deep voice vibrated through Max's chest. He pushed his office door open and let Max inside. They were chest to chest and eye to eye as Max made his way through the door and into the 12-by-12-foot office.
"Strong, I have the documents you need to sign to finalize your promotion. The official ceremony will be in August. This is just a formality."
Max cleared his dry throat. "Of course, sir, thank you very much. I'm very ready for this promotion." Max sat straighter in his chair.
"No shit, Einstein. I know you're ready. You've been working toward this for 4 years. Look over the requirements, and if you agree, get it signed sometime this weekend so Jenna can process it with corporate."
Jenna was the captain's personal assistant. She had a petite frame and bronze-colored skin that she didn't overly enhance with too much Maybelline. Her thin brown hair was cut in a short style that kind of reminded him of Halle Berry. She was proficient at her job. When she was in a good mood, she would make them her world-famous pot roast with homemade applesauce on the side. Everyone loved her because she was several feet shorter than all the firefighters, but she wasn't afraid to get in your face and curse you out, and she was the only one that could calm the captain down when anyone royally fucked up.
"Yes, sir, I will have it in her inbox by Monday.
he replied while quickly scanning the documents. He already knew what his new duties would entail. When he raised his eyes, he noticed the captain's dark brown eyes now sparkled and glared at something over his shoulder. Max turned slowly in his uncomfortable chair to see what, or rather who, it was. In the door stood a soft man at about 5'5", light brown eyes that looked almost golden, and looked to weigh about 100 pounds soaking wet. Max thought he looked like a more mature version of Justin Bieber. His two-toned hair was chemically highlighted, and in one of those spiky hairdos that gave the illusion that it didn't require styling, when in actuality he probably styled each and every spike. He was holding a brown and blue picnic basket while his eyes feasted on the captain's large chest. Mature Bieber gave Max a quick nod of acknowledgement and went gracefully into the arms of his partner. The captain didn't hesitate as he wrapped the small man tightly in his arms. With one firm hand, he cupped the little man's dimpled chin, tilting his glossy lips up to slowly come into contact with his own slack mouth. Max stared openly at his boss as he watched him lick the shine off his man's thin lips. As he tilted his mouth to the side for a better angle, his captain's eyelids slid half-closed, making him appear momentarily drunk. It was rumored that the captain and his life partner lived a BDSM lifestyle, or known to most as a dom-sub lifestyle. Max found himself picturing his captain standing tall in his typical don't-fuck-with-me stance, decked out head-to-toe in black, butter-soft leather, barking out sexual orders to be followed. His almost black eyes demanded complete obedience from his submissive partner. Max's thoughts ran rapid as he sat transfixed at the open display of affection. His mouth hung slack on his face, and his tongue was suddenly very dry. The captain reined in his desire and suddenly cut his hazy gaze to Max. He finally noticed that all eyes were on him, and it made Max jump like someone had slammed a book shut inside the compact room. Way to go, dumbass. He scrambled toward the door as if hellhounds were nipping at his heels, not bothering to check if the captain was finished with him or not. Shit, shit, shit. Great. The last thing I need is the captain thinking I'm a fucking homophobe. Fuck. Everyone knew the captain was gay, and the little twink in his office was his whole life. Nobody gave him any shit about it either, because if they did, not only would they be out of a job, but they would leave with a size 12 boot shoved up their ass. As he shut the door behind him, he could have sworn the captain was smirking at his fluster. Damn it, I wasn't disgusted at all. It was actually kind of hot. Max blinked rapidly and shook his head, completely unsure where that crazy thought came from. I need to go for a run or something. Instead of going to the workout room as planned, Max decided to go back to his bunk room and catch a little power nap before his shift started at midnight. He closed and locked the door behind him and flopped down on the freshly made twin mattress. He'd lucked out this weekend by not having to share a room. Since he was pulling a 72-hour while everyone else had 24s or 48-hour shifts, the captain gave him first dibs. He lay in the dark room staring up at the ceiling, his eyes getting heavy as his thoughts drifted to his captain and the look of ecstasy that flashed across his strong face when he kissed his man. Max's breath hitched in his throat. Fuck. His hand had unconsciously made its way inside his shorts, grazing over his stiff cock. Was I just thinking about my damn captain while touching my dick? What the hell is wrong with me today? A frown creased his forehead as he pondered that for a moment. Nah, I just need to get laid, that's all. He let one hand stay on his cock and brought the other up to pinch his already hardening nipple. Ah, damn, that feels good, he chanted silently in his mind. Max couldn't figure out why the hell he was so excited. His cock was hard enough to pound nails. He got a firm grip around his prick, loving how the calluses on his right hand created the perfect friction. He gathered the pre-cum forming on the smooth head and used it to make his stroke glide easier up and down his length. Oh, yeah. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Max couldn't figure out what the hell was driving him this insane with lust, but all the blood left his head on his shoulders and landed at the head of his cock. All logic and reasoning had been temporarily suspended. He abandoned his now super-sensitive nipples and let that hand trail down his tense stomach to the silky hair that narrowed as it got closer to his groin. He cupped his drawn-up sack and began to massage it roughly in his palm. Damn,
I'm about to come. Shit, I'm coming.
Max's eyes were shut tight. He stroked faster and faster until he was seeing stars under his eyelids.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?